This is Al Nass from live on location from somewhere in rural Indiana, where the mobile marquee on the front of a church reads, God said, I am, not I was. What a edifying piece of scripture. They didn't seem to quote the verse or what verse it was, but I'm sure it's in the Bible. Anyway, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Mystery and Truth weekly Bible study. I hope and pray that everyone is doing well in this world. And I hear that Craig's brother-in-law is not doing so well, so we pray for him. And it seems like every time I start or am asked by David Bickle to fill in for his Bible study on Tuesday nights when he's out of town, it seems to result in another lesson for Pal Talk. So last time we talked about Job and Moses, and this time what I came up with Bible study was talking about the ending of the Acts and how that, unless we understand what happened at the end of the Acts, we will not fully and rightly understand the Bible, or even true Christianity for that matter. So let me start with a prayer, then I'll turn on a recorder, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, and our Lord and our Savior and our head, we thank you so much for this opportunity to get together to share your truth and what your Holy Spirit has to teach us. We especially thank you for E.W. Bullinger, C.H. Welch, Oscar Baker, and all these servants of yours that have gone before us to lay the foundation for what we know today. And everything we do is not for our glory, to not to make a name for ourselves, but to teach others what you have us to teach them about your truth. And we thank you for all the teachers of our Truth for Today fellowship. We learn so much from each other as iron sharpens iron. And we ask you to pray for all the needs of the body, all those who are suffering illnesses and those recovering, and those who have other issues in life, in the flesh. We pray that you give them grace and mercy and give them comfort. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I've got a digital recorder here. I've got turned on, so it's ready to go. And here we go. So this title of this lesson is The Ending of the Acts and the Beginning of a New Gospel. I'm sorry, my throat's a little clogged up tonight. Excuse me. So the Bible is mostly about God's dealings with his chosen nation of Israel. The time span from Genesis to Revelation is about 7,000 years. And not much is written about the first 2,000 years, only the first 10 chapters of Genesis. Most of the Bible is concerned with the second 2,000-year period, and only about 70 years of the third 2,000-year period, which is our present 2,000 years. And there are many prophecies and visions concerning the seventh period, which is 1,000 years. The Bible is virtually silent about the majority of our present period, except for a hidden secret revealed to the Apostle Paul near the end of his life, for which he penned a second set of seven epistles. Some have noticed that the book of Acts in the Bible seems to have an abrupt ending. It seems like God abruptly suspends his dealing with Israel, followed by his silence. But like wisdom crying out aloud in the streets for attention, what God revealed to Paul has been, for centuries, crying out for the attention of believers. A major change took place at the end of the Acts, in which traditional Christianity has been completely unaware. For some reason, the early saints were turned away from this revelation even before Paul died. 2 Timothy 1:15. Men, therefore, either had to or chose to believe that Israel's promises and hopes were merely extended to the Gentiles until a so-called rapture, after which God will resume his dealings with Israel. What if modern Christian doctrine is on the wrong track? Who would want to derail Christianity? Well, in spite of all the types and shadows and prophecies and miracles during the 1800 years before Jesus' ministry, the Jews, or Israel, could not see how that a carpenter's son, who perfectly met all the criteria, could be their promised Messiah. And for simplicity here, we're going to use the terms Jew and Israel interchangeably. Likewise, the believers in Christ over 1800 years have not seen the special gospel revealed to the Apostle Paul intended for us Gentiles in this present age. If Israel could be blind after 1800 years, is it possible for Christians to be blind for the same amount of time? The Jews were given only 38 years to acknowledge Jesus as the Christ before they were set aside by God so that he could accomplish his blessings for the Gentiles. How long will God give Gentile believers to acknowledge his blessings for them until he resumes his dealing with Israel? Unless we understand what happened at the end of the Acts, we will not fully understand the Bible rightly or truly, or even true Christianity for that matter. Only the Holy Spirit, through the Word of Truth, can heighten the eyes of our understanding and renew the spirit of our minds. So grab your Bible and check out what is about to Remember the prayer of Jesus while on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's Luke 23:34. The Jews were given a reprieve of about 35 more years to acknowledge the risen Jesus Christ as our Lord and promised Messiah. This period of time is recorded as the Acts in the Bible. The Jews were not set aside or cut off when Jesus died on the cross. Not until the end of the Acts, when the Jews in Rome rejected Paul's day-long testimony of Jesus Christ as a promised Messiah, did God set aside the kingdom promises and hope for Israel. God did not extend these kingdom promises and hopes to the Gentiles for today. He only extended the salvation of God to all men alike, including Jews. The kingdom gospel was temporarily suspended at the end of the Acts, and a new gospel was put forth. After the end of the Acts, Paul was given a new gospel for the believers in Christ that most Christians have never heard. For those who have heard it, it has drastically affected their understanding of the Bible. It has made clear God's overall plan for the ages and how we fit into that plan. It was revealed that God is dealing with different groups of people in different ways. Also, conflicts in the scriptures seem to disappear. Unless the natural Unseen to the natural eye is a major paradigm shift at the end of the Acts in God's administration and doctrine to his redeemed. He invited all nations to salvation and eternal life in Christ. For those faithful to the truth, God revealed a more excellent calling and hope into a called out assembly seated far above the heavens called the body of Christ with Christ as the head. This was never written of any other people. This is entirely different from the promises and hopes and blessings intended for Israel on the earth. Trying to mix this Gentile gospel with Israel's kingdom gospel creates a lot of confusion. Perhaps that's why there's so many Christian denominations today. Traditional Christian teaching still claims all of the Bible pertains to everybody and they are all tied to Israel. Well, consider that every book in the Bible was written by an Israelite. The Bible is mostly about God's dealing with Israel in the past and in the future. The entire Bible is for us to know, but all of the Bible is to us or about us today. Only a small part of the Bible pertains directly to us Gentiles in the present age, as explained in this commentary. Only the Holy Spirit can give us an understanding of the word of truth by seeking the deep things of God. The Acts. Now, this is A-C-T-S. Sometimes you're thinking A-X. The Acts. The first chapter of the Acts begins with the query of the risen Lord by his disciples about the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. Acts 1-6. The final chapter of the Acts records the same hope of Israel. Acts 28-20. Consider these facts as bookends. It is evident that throughout the Acts period, the Acts records the same hope of Israel. For about 35 years, the apostles anticipated the imminent return of Christ to restore the kingdom on the earth in their lifetime. After all, Jesus told his disciples that all of his kingdom, that in his kingdom they would sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. So the mission of the apostles was to convince and convert all the Jews to Christ so that Christ could return to restore their kingdom on earth. As prophesied in the Old Testament, that would have happened had Israel as a nation acknowledged Jesus Christ as their promised Messiah. During the Acts period, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written. The seven epistles of Peter, James, Jude, and John were written. And Paul wrote seven of his epistles during this time, as listed later. John wrote Revelation during this period, and all these had the imminent return of Christ and the millennial kingdom in view. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, not the church, by Jesus in Matthew 16:19. The early chapters of the Acts focus on Peter's ministry to open the kingdom of heaven to the Jews on Pentecost in chapter 2 and to the Gentiles through Cornelius at Caesarea in chapter 10. After the kingdom was opened to the Gentiles, Paul enters the scene and Peter fades off the pages. A majority of the book of the Acts of the Bible, 16 of 28 chapters, is about the life and works of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is first introduced in Acts chapter 7 by his Hebrew name Saul. Saul was a Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin, a zealous Pharisee, a student of Hebrew, the Hebrew lawyer Gamaliel, a Roman citizen by birth, and can speak both Greek and Hebrew. Paul was chosen in a different way than the 12 disciples of Jesus, and was not one of the 12 apostles. Paul's name will not appear on the 12 foundations, Revelation 21:14, of the holy city New Jerusalem, called the Bride, the Lamb's Wife, in Revelation 21:9. Paul was the only apostle ever designated in the scriptures as the apostle to the Gentiles, and Paul was chosen for a different ministry. In fact, a two-part ministry, as we will see. According to Acts 7:58 and 8:1, and by his own testimony in Acts 22:20, he was standing by and consenting to the stoning to death the disciple Stephen. Saul began persecuting the disciples of the Lord until he was converted by the risen Lord on the way to Damascus, Acts chapter 9. Saul was separated by the Holy Spirit in Acts 13:2 to work a work that he was called to do. His Roman name, Paul, was used after Acts 13:9. Without going into all the details, the Apostle Paul conducted three missionary journeys recorded from Acts 13 to Acts 21, converting mostly Jews and some Gentiles to Christianity. This was Paul's inner Acts ministry. Paul wrote 70 epistles during his Acts missionary work. Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Hebrews, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Romans. Paul's gospel of the grace of God was to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. The Jew and some proselytes were called to circumcision. Proselytes were Gentiles that became converted to Judaism and were circumcised. All other people or nations were called Gentiles and referred to as the uncircumcision. The Jews were prohibited by law from associating with Gentiles, so they despised them. Whenever Paul said the word Gentiles, the Jews went berserk. During the Acts period, the Gentile was allowed to share in the salvation and blessings of the Jew. Late in the Acts period, Paul explained in his epistle to the saints in Rome that believing Gentiles, the wild branch, could be grafted into the natural olive tree, believing Jews, and partake of the fatness, the kingdom hopes and promises, of the root, Christ. The reason for this was to provoke Israel to jealousy, Romans 11:11. But even that did not work. This grafting in was a temporary position for that time and is not applicable in the present age because of what happened to the olive tree at the end of the Acts. On Paul's third return to Jerusalem, he was arrested in the temple, Acts 21:28, being accused by the Jews of the same thing Stephen was accused. Paul was accused of teaching Jews to forsake the law of Moses and defiling the temple by bringing a Gentile into the temple. Since Paul was a Roman citizen, he was taken to a Roman city, Caesarea, for questioning and held there 2 years by the Roman governor, Felix. After Paul appealed to Caesar, he was sent to Rome by the new governor, Festus, for a trial in Nero's court, Acts 21 to Acts 28. The Romans could not find Paul guilty of breaking any Roman laws, so after 2 years under house arrest in Rome, Paul was set free. So as we go back to pick up Luke's account of Paul's arrival at Rome in Acts 28, Paul is separated from the other prisoners and was permitted to live by himself chained to a guard. He immediately called for a meeting with the chief of the Jews in Rome because the Jews still had priority in the dealings of God. So the reader should now turn to Acts 28:16 and read the remainder of chapter 28. Now, we're going to forego that at this point because of time, and I think most of you know those verses very well. So forgive me for not going there. Acts 28:24-25 is Israel's final refusal to acknowledge Jesus Christ as their promised Messiah. In spite of being given 35 additional years after the prayer of Jesus on the cross, it appears at this point that Satan had gained the victory. He kept Israel as a nation from acknowledging Jesus Christ as their promised Messiah. It appeared that Satan had successfully thwarted God's plan for Israel, but not so fast. The word translated departed in Acts 28:25 is the Greek form epoluo, which means divorced or put away as a spouse. Verse 20, departed, is used again when the Jews physically departed. This is a different Greek form in the original, aperkomei. This divorce meant that a major change was about to happen in the way God would deal with mankind. At this point, God put away Israel and suspended all aspects of his dealing with the nation of Israel with a big timeout called Lo Ami. The proclamation of Acts 28:25-28 is the fulfillment of the Lo Ami prophecies of Hosea 1:9, 3:4, and 6:2, which will last about 2,000 years or 2 days. Hosea 1:9 says, "Then God said, call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God." Hosea 3:4, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without a teraphim." And Hosea 6:2, "After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." The Lo Ami condition was pronounced on Israel. God essentially put Israel in a big time out. This 2,000-year separation between God and Israel was not a mystery, because it was prophesied. But what God was going to do during these 2,000 years was a mystery. A secret that God kept from man and Satan since before the foundation of the world. And that's found in Ephesians 3:9 and Colossians 1:26. Acts 28:28, the dividing line. "Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." In Acts 26:16, Paul indicated that the Lord would reveal to him further things to come. Verse 28:28 represents a significant change in God's administration. At this point, all nations were deemed equal in the eyes of God. Prior to this, God's salvation-bringing message was exclusive to the Jews, but is now inclusive to all men alike. Eternal life is now granted to whosoever that believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But without Israel and their kingdom, to what hope would they look for? By necessity, this change would require a new dispensation with a new doctrine separate from those given to Israel before they were cut off. It would also necessitate a new calling and a new hope. The Lord revealed his new dispensation to the Apostle Paul after Acts 28:28. His new way of dealing with his saints during this Lo Ami period for Israel. Paul wrote 7 more epistles after Acts 28:28. 1 Timothy, Titus, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and 2 Timothy. The time, the place, the order of these epistles are not given and are left to conjecture or tradition. We know that the first 2 listed were written while Paul was set free. The other 5 are called the prison epistles. After a period of freedom, Paul was apprehended again and spent his final time in a Roman prison. These 7 epistles are directed to the believers of this age, especially the 3 underlined in the middle. Most of the Bible is about God's dealing with Israel in the past and Israel in the future. This small portion of the Bible, these 7 epistles, is to us Gentiles and how we are to be blessed in the present age. They contain the believer's doctrine for today. Now, Luke wrote the Acts shortly after the Acts period ended. Only Paul wrote epistles after the Acts. The Gospel of John was also written to the world after the Acts and after Israel was set aside. Without spiritual wisdom and understanding, Paul's 7 post-Acts epistles are often taken out of context by traditional Christianity. They serve no purpose or application to the believer under the so-called kingdom gospel preaching. In any kingdom gospel doctrine, these 7 epistles could be omitted altogether from the Bible, and there would still be a complete kingdom gospel Bible. There's only one problem. The kingdom gospel was suspended almost 2,000 years ago. The change at the ending of the Acts is the necessity for these 7 later epistles of Paul. These 7 post-Acts epistles have a special purpose and a special meaning. They reveal God's doctrine for the faithful in this present age, which is at variance with the doctrine of traditional or orthodox Christianity. Paul records in Colossians 1:25 that His second ministry and these seven post-Acts epistles were to fulfill the word of God. God's plan was not complete until this mystery was revealed and preached to all believers in Christ. This gospel is intended for the calling out of those chosen by God before the foundation of the world into His elect assembly, which He calls the body of Christ, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. This is a superlative gospel that is subsequent to the salvation gospel. What is written in these epistles, as well as what is silenced, and also what has happened historically, tells us several things that occurred at Acts 28:28. Now, this is a partial list. God invoked the Lo-Ami condition on Israel. God stopped His prophetic clock with Israel. God suspended all dealings with it in all aspects. The Jew no longer has priority status. The Jew is no longer recognized or mentioned. The kingdom of heaven is no longer mentioned. Israel's promises and covenants are set aside. There are no more appeals to Moses and the prophets. God withdrew the spiritual gifts and signs He bestowed upon the apostles. He delayed the Great Commission of Matthew 28:19-20. The return of Christ, as prophesied by Daniel, was postponed. The fulfillment of the new covenant was delayed. The fulfillment of the Davidic covenant was delayed. The fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant was delayed. The kingdom gospel was suspended. Baptism in water is no longer mentioned. God created one new man by combining Jew and Gentile. God authorized a salvation message to all nations apart from any attachment to Israel. God is calling His faithful to the word of truth into a new position in Christ. Historically, it's a fact that both Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed by the Romans in AD 70, and Christ did not return in AD 85 to fulfill the promises, the prophecy of Daniel. Or AD 40, according to traditional teaching, that would be AD 33 plus 7. Christ will not return to this earth until Israel acknowledges Him as Messiah and Redeemer. Sometime yet in the future, after the appearing, the epiphania of Christ in the heavens, with His called out body of this age, Israel's eyes will be opened and their new covenant, the restoration and redemption of Israel, will be fulfilled. After a period of time, Christ will return the parousia to the earth for His people Israel, after they go through the great tribulation. Got proof? Well, if Israel had accepted Christ as their Messiah, then neither you or I would be here today. Because the events of the Revelation would have occurred, Christ would have returned to this earth, the millennial kingdom would be long over, the resurrections and judgments would have taken place, this earth would be gone, and by now there would be a new heaven and a new earth. The redeemed would be enjoying their paradise on earth. There would be no churches or Christians as we know them today. So there is living proof today that the foregoing is truth. If you look in a mirror, there you will see the living proof that Israel was indeed put in a timeout since the end of the Acts, and this significant change in God's dispensation did occur. Because you are alive and here today, that is the living proof. The beginning of a new gospel. The kingdom gospel and the hope of Israel were suspended almost 2,000 years ago. So now, after the gospel of salvation is heard, what hope is being preached to the saved Gentiles today? After Acts 28:28, Paul's ministry and message changed. Acts 28:30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. The overall kingdom of God now has this new dispensation of the mystery inserted within it, whereby we are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, Colossians 1:13. The things concerning Jesus, His earthly ministry, as in Acts 28:23, has changed to those things which concern the risen Lord Jesus Christ, his heavenly ministry. Now the subject is no longer the kingdom of Jesus Christ as Messiah and King on earth, but the body of Christ with Christ as the head seated in the heavenlies. This begs the question, why have I not heard of these things before? The answer, Satan and his lies. This is a divine purpose that God kept secret from both men and Satan since before the foundation of the world, until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul in prison. From Genesis to the end of Acts, several aspects of the mystery of Christ were revealed. But the mystery of the body of Christ, which is the pinnacle or the capstone of the mystery of Christ, had not yet been revealed. This part of the mystery of Christ has a superlative place and purpose that was not offered to Israel. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways passing out. Romans 11:33. After Acts 28:28, Paul had to minister to the Gentile believers without any connection to Israel and their covenants and their promises and their kingdom. This began a new age, a post-Acts gospel for this present age from the end of the Acts to the manifestation, the epiphania of Christ in the heavens, filled full with his called out body. This is the gospel of hope that should be preached to all who have heard John's gospel of salvation and have been granted eternal life in Christ. However, not all saved believers are automatically included in the body of Christ. They must hear and acknowledge this gospel. In our English translation of the scriptures, Paul called this a mystery. In the original, it is the Greek form mysterion. Mysterion in the New Testament denotes not the mysterious, but that which is being outside of the range of unassisted natural comprehension, can be made known only by divine revelation, and is made in a manner and at a time appointed by God, and only by his Holy Spirit. In other words, hidden truth in the Bible is not revealed to just anyone. It's similar to the parables Jesus used when speaking to his disciples. A mystery that has been revealed is no longer a mystery to whom it has been revealed. It becomes truth. It remains a mystery only to those who have had it revealed to them, who have not had it been revealed to them, or to those who chose to reject it. To them, it is still a mystery. I had one of those today, a Baptist preacher, and I was called anathema. That was the thrust of Paul's second. So what was the thrust of Paul's second and final ministry? His second ministry was to make known this secret, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Sorry, Tony, this is Ephesians 3:7-9. Unto me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And also in Colossians 1:24-28, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the called out, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid in from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ among you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, a warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. In order to be perfect in Christ, we must be faithful to the truth by believing and acknowledge the mystery of the body of Christ. That is the blessing to the saved and the faithful believers of this present age. What was revealed to Paul after Acts 28:28 is a superlative gospel to believers in Christ under a new doctrine, a different calling and hope never before expressed anywhere in scriptures. There is now a concorporate body with Christ as the head. This glorious gospel is separate from the previous gospel to Israel concerning a restored kingdom and a reigning Messiah as his king. This gospel is concerning a called out Gentile body of Christ with Christ as the head. This body is said to be the fullness of him that filleth all in all and the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is a different calling with a different hope than those presented during the Acts. The doctrine of this gospel is expounded in Paul's post-Acts prison epistles written to the saints and faithful in Ephesus and Colossae, having already heard something about it. This is present truth. This is the true gospel for the saved believer in this present age, not the kingdom gospel of the past age. Once a person becomes a believer in Christ, this is the true gospel they should hear, after which they must believe and acknowledge. The lie. If you have had trouble understanding the Bible, if you have had trouble understanding religion, if you are unsure about God's overall plan and how you fit in, if you question why there are so many different denominations who all claim to have the truth, if you are wondering why all of this matters, then maybe there's a reason that you have read this far in this commentary. Most believers in Christ underestimate the power and deceit of the enemy of God. Satan will do everything in his limited power to keep believers from knowing all the truth. He will allow all kinds of religious ceremonies and doctrines and denominations just as long as we never learn all the truth, just so as long as we never learn all the truth of God's word. Remember, Satan counterfeits and perverts everything of God, especially by using tradition and religion. God's works are known as the lie in scriptures. Satan long ago hijacked Christianity and took it in another direction. Satan wanted to keep this mystery from the body of Christ a mystery. As soon as he knew of this mystery, he revived the kingdom gospel. He perverted doctrine. He invented religion and holidays. He perverted worship. He perverted the word of God. He injected paganism, philosophy, and tradition. He persecuted believers. He destroyed Bibles. He created divisions. He did all these things in a very subtle and deceptive ways, to the point where most who call themselves Christians adamantly defend what Satan has taught them to believe and to practice. He made religion so personal and binding that most would not repent even if they saw the truth. Roman Catholicism dominated the world as the Mother Church for over 1,000 years until the Reformation period. Only the present 250 years has religious freedom existed thanks to America. Only in the past 100 years has this mystery been uncovered for us to see and acknowledge. By the will and grace of God, the truth is being uncovered in these last days. But how many will be able to overcome religion and tradition to claim freedom in Christ? Because Satan hates freedom and he hates the truth. The truth. Before we die, or before the end of this age, it becomes urgent to find out what God thinks is right, not what I think is right. In 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4, we have two things that God desires in his present age. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Being saved to eternal life in Christ is the first step. The second step is hearing, believing, and acknowledging the superlative gospel, learning all truth to its full end and to our end of life, which is going on to perfection. What truth does it mean here? Not only present truth, but all truth. Jesus said in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. All truth is not found in the Gospels, but in further revelation that were given subsequently within the Scriptures by the risen Lord. This is not an invented revelation outside the Scriptures. Peter would have never gone to the Gentile Cornelius without a revelation from the Lord. Paul progressively received many revelations from the Lord during his two ministries. So to understand the context of Paul's post-Acts gospel, we must understand the context of how this fits into all of the Scriptures given to us in the Bible. Having a basic knowledge of the whole Bible helps to see how and why this doctrine is true. This is emphasized by Paul in his last epistle, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The key that unlocks the understanding of Scriptures is 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself to prove unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There is a significant and visible dividing line at the end of Acts that separates the gospel of the restored kingdom for Israel from the gospel of the Gentile body of Christ. It separates the two ministries of the Apostle Paul. It separates the Acts doctrine from the post-Acts doctrine for believers. It separates past truth and present truth, and it separates Israel's past and Israel's future. God didn't have to change his plan because of Israel's failure. He had planned for this before the foundation of the world, as is recorded in Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The ending of the Acts is the beginning of a new gospel, of a new calling and a new hope. Jesus implied that a new wine is best in a new wineskin. This new gospel is not an evolution of the former gospel. It is a new creation for the present age while Israel is temporarily set aside. All of those who are saved by faith in Jesus Christ will have eternal life in one of three spheres of blessings. The meek shall inherit the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There will be the holy city New Jerusalem coming down from heaven to the new earth for the elect of Israel. The elect body of Christ will be seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father far above all. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Ephesians 1:10. This is not intended to be an in-depth study of this entire doctrine. We have just planted a seed of truth, which over time may blossom into a full tree of knowledge. I hope and pray this brief dissertation will open your eyes to a new way of looking at Scriptures. This is a departure from traditional Christian doctrine and is meant only for God's elect who are called out of tradition into his assembly, the body of Christ. Begin by reading and acknowledging the gospel that is found in Ephesians and Colossians. For the members of the body of Christ who are chosen by God before the foundation of the world, when Christ, who our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. That is our hope. It would be fitting to conclude with the prayers that Paul prayed for the believing saints to whom he ministered his superlative gospel. Ephesians 1:17-19. That the God of our Father, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Ephesians 3:16-19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, in Ephesians 3, 16, 19. Colossians 1, 9 through 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might work worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There are many study resources and scattered independent Bible study groups that believe and teach this doctrine for this present age. If your heart is yearning for present truth, I encourage you to ask the person who gave you this commentary for more information, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, I apologize for a few things. I apologize for reading this to you because it's intended, and I'm going to send this out to everybody in a PDF format. So it's intended to for you to read it yourself. A lot of it you already know. It's intended for you to email it to other people that you may be ministering to, or friends or family. It's not for my glory. It's just a tool that can be used for your service to the Lord. And second of all, I apologize. I'm in a big church parking lot. I pulled off the interstate. I'm on my way home, but haven't made it that far. So there is a lot of motorcycles and sirens and things going on in the background here. So I apologize for that as well. And that is the ending of the Acts and the beginning of a new gospel.